Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online teaching and preaching ministry. We're looking at the book of Acts, which I've entitled this study, Luke's History of the Church, Volume 2. In this session, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 21, verses 27 to 36, Paul's false arrest. If you remember from last time, advice was given to Paul, and he took the advice of the church leaders, and he paid for these men's purification rites and an offering so that the Jewish, other Jewish men and women would not think that Paul had turned away from and was standing away from the teachings of Moses. But things didn't go as planned. Not quite as planned. Look at these verses in our session. Acts 21, beginning with verse 27. Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, "Away with him! Away with him!" Paul's presence in the temple area, instead of solving the problem, resulted in a riot. Jews from Asia, they were probably from Ephesus. Remember these guys that kept following around from place to place. Acts chapter 19, verse 8, back there in Ephesus. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. The apostles spent time in the synagogue in Ephesus. In fact, Paul spoke of their plots when he was at Miletus. In Acts 20, verse 19, he said, "Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews." It may have been those Jews who had been spreading the rumors about Paul. Several serious charges were made against him. Look at verses 26 to 28. First charge, he teaches against the people, reducing the significance of being a Jew. Second, he teaches against the law, invalidating the Torah. Third, he teaches against this place, blaspheming the temple. These two charges are like those made against Stephen. The irony of it all, isn't it? That these charges that Paul agreed with against Stephen have now come against him. Acts chapter 6, verse 13. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man," speaking of Stephen, "does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." And then the fourth charge, he defiled this holy place, bringing in Gentiles. Verse 29 explains that this was a false charge, for they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Gentiles could not go past the court of the Gentiles. A wall separated the area from the rest of the temple court. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says that, speaking about how Jesus brought the Jews and the Gentiles together. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 down to verse 22, it reads, speaking of this work that Jesus did, because of the Gentiles having to be outside that wall and the Jews being able to go inside the wall, but they couldn't come together. It says, therefore, in Ephesians 2:11, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity," that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, "so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and prayed and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Who was Trophimus? Well, he was one of the representatives with the offering collection. Acts chapter 20 and verse 4 tells us, "And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia." So look again there at Acts 21 and verse 30. It says, "And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut." Paul's presence in the temple area resulted in its end. He was there for his own purification and was accused of defiling the temple. Immediately the doors were shut. That was the last scene involving the temple in the book of Acts. It was symbolic. God's messenger was rejected. The Jews' temple was closed to God's purposes until today. Paul's presence in the temple area resulted in ministry change. The Roman commander heard about the riot. Look at verse 31. "Now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar." The garrison used by the Romans was the Tower of Antonia that was built by Herod in order to protect the temple. They knew that if any trouble arose, it would most likely be in the temple area. The commander's name was Lysias. You go to Acts chapter 23 and verse 26, Claudius Lysias, it says, "To the most excellent governor Felix, greetings." See, so the commander wasted no time responding. Says he immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander, and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he was and what he had done. A centurion was an officer over 100 soldiers. Roman force got the job done. They stopped beating Paul. The apostle was arrested and bound with two chains. I mean, hand and foot, just like Agabus predicted it would happen. Remember back in Acts 21, verse 11, when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, speaking of Agabus, the prophet, bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." From this point until the end of the book of Acts, Paul was in chains. The commander rescued Paul, verse 34. And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. And when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. And when he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him." Because of the confusion, the soldiers carried the apostle away to the safety of the barracks. And notice the symbolism as the Jews again rejected God's man. Away with him. That statement lumped Paul in with Jesus. Luke 23, verse 18. They all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." John chapter 19 and verse 15, it says, "But they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' And Pilate said to them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' And the chief priest answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.'" It's so sad to watch the rejection of Jesus Christ by sinners. I always remember my father's rejection just months, maybe a year before his own death, sitting at my kitchen table. I shared with him the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And his response to me with these words, he said, "If what you're saying to me is true," and he knew I was reading from the Bible, he said, "If what you say to me is true, then my parents are in hell today. And I'd rather go there and be with them." Those were the last words that we spoke that day. I prayed for him many times. He refused to speak of God's word again. And then he went into eternity. As far as I know, he entered eternity without Christ. There is one other story which I'm not going to share now, which does give me some hope. Listen, share the good news of Jesus Christ while you're able. Share it with those who need to hear. Share it with everyone who will listen. There won't be another opportunity after they pass from this physical life into eternity. You have a great day.